Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Simple title today, Choose Mercy. Choose Mercy. And as I was praying earlier, my prayer is that at the conclusion of this message, that you will choose mercy, like in a very real way this morning. Choose mercy. What is mercy? That's going to be the first question we're going to let God's Word answer for us. What is mercy? First of all, to truly understand mercy, we've got to understand what justice is. Because justice is giving someone what he deserves. My dad and his buddies deserved juvie, Red Wing, Minnesota. That would have been justice. Mercy, on the other hand, is not giving someone what he deserves. And then we got this thing called grace, and it's pretty amazing, as the song goes, right? Grace is giving someone what he doesn't deserve. So it goes like this. Is justice to send me to hell? I'm talking about myself. It is. Justice would be to send me to hell because I deserve it. The wages of sin is death. That's justice. Mercy is to not send me to hell. And then grace is to send me to heaven. Grace is to allow me to live in the presence of God, to enjoy communion with my Creator all the days of my life and for all eternity. That's grace. And so, what do you want? What's the longing of your heart, the cry of your soul? Is it justice or is it mercy? Personally, I don't want what I deserve. I can't handle what I deserve. And I'm grateful that I'm not receiving and I won't receive what I deserve. How is that possible? Because here's the deal, justice has to be served. God is a God of justice. Justice has to be served. You burn down a barn, justice is going to be served. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Justice has to be served. Blood is spilled. The innocent blood of even unborn children spilled. Justice has to be served. God will not be mocked. Justice will be served. So how can I stand here and say that I'm going to receive and I have received mercy? Remember, we were just singing earlier that God is perfect in all of his ways, and that his word is flawless. And in God's perfection, in his perfect plan, he sent his son to take the justice that you and I deserve. On the cross, we just celebrated, we just remembered with communion, on that cross, Jesus received the justice so that we can receive mercy. I mean, that's incredible. It's like this. Mercy is given to all who put their hope in Christ Jesus. Now check this out. Those of you who've been following our study, mercy is given to all of those who are poor in spirit. Mercy is extended to those who understand that they are bankrupt, that they are desperate for a Savior. Mercy is given to all of those who sincerely mourn over their sin and who respond with meekness, submitting themselves to God. Mercy is given to those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for the presence of God, for the filling of God. Mercy is given. Do you see that? How God is setting us all up, how he's walking us through his worldview, how he's walking us through his economy, how it works in his kingdom, right through the Beatitudes there. You see how it all fits together? Starting with being poor in spirit, understanding our condition. And now we've walked through that, through mourning, through meekness, through hungering and thirsting for his filling, for his presence. And then we start stepping into this amazing thing called mercy. God's setting it up so we don't have to wonder what it looks like to follow him. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Who's going to be shown mercy? The merciful. And so when we get mercy, we must show mercy. When we get it, we got to give it. That's what Jesus is saying here. So what happens, though, if we get mercy, but we don't give it? Well, Jesus told a story. He gave us an example of what that would look like, how that would all go down if we receive mercy, but then we decide not to extend mercy to others. And we find this in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. Okay, let me just preface this right now. Jesus is about to get in our faces. He's about to get really, really real with you. And some of you may offend you, and you may have to go back and read this time and time again. Did Jesus really say that? But it's the love of God that he would share truth with us. So let's check this out. Let's check out how Jesus is talking about mercy and justice and forgiveness and unforgiveness and just how significant this particular topic is. Because often when we hear the word mercy, we just think, woo, man, this is going to be one of those happy, awesome sermons. And it is. But you got to walk through some things first to really walk into that blessed or happy in God reality. So Jesus says this, Gospel of Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. So Peter came to Jesus, he asked him, he said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? And then Peter's thinking, okay, this is how I look at this anyway. Peter's like, okay, Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins? I'm going to impress Jesus right now. Seven times? Because you know I would do that. Not just once, not just twice, not just three. I mean, seven times, Jesus, is that many? How many times? Because you know, I'm pretty cool here. And Jesus answered him. He said, he was probably chuckling a little bit maybe. He says, I tell you, Peter, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven or 77 times. Jesus always takes things to another level. We think we're all that. We think we got it all figured out. We think we're, no. Now I tell you, it's 70 times, 70 times seven. Therefore, Jesus continues, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle his accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. So that's a lot of money. So this guy owed this guy a lot of money. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Aren't you guys glad we live in America right now, by the way? Dude, this is serious stuff, right? Verse 26, the servant fell on his knees before him, said, be patient with me. He began to beg his master. I'll pay back everything. I'll pay back everything, but be patient with me. Have mercy on me. And the servant's master took pity on him. He had mercy on his servant who owed him a lot of money, and he canceled the debt, and he let him go. I mean, that's a good day for that guy. I mean, that's an incredible day for that guy. How many of you have experienced that? Debt canceled. That's a good day. But when that servant who just had a really good day, whose debt was canceled, when he went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now that's like chump change compared to what he owed his master. And he grabbed him, he choked him, and he said, pay back what you owe me. His fellow servant fell on his knees. And he begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. In other words, he invoked justice on his fellow servant, on his buddy, who owed him a little bit of money. Now, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. They went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. This is a guy who he just canceled his debt. But he heard how things were going down out there. He calls him in and he says, you wicked servant. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay all he owed. He gave him justice. And then Jesus makes this statement. I bolded it because it's serious. And he says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Just like my dad and his buddies, when that barn caught fire, it just got real. It just got real. Jesus just got real with us right here. Jesus is laying down a serious warning. He's saying if we who have received mercy don't extend mercy to others. Now remember, people don't deserve mercy. People deserve justice. But if we who have received mercy don't extend mercy to others, God will hand us over to justice. In other words, if we demand justice, then we forfeit mercy. You're like, how's that possible? Wait a minute, I said a prayer 10 years ago, man. I've been justified. Dude, God is perfect in all of his ways. And his word is flawless. This is how it rolls in his economy. He is serious about mercy. So serious that he extended it to you, and you know you don't deserve mercy. He's that serious about mercy that he would step down out of heaven, that he would go to the cross willingly, taking what you deserve. He's that serious about mercy. And he's still serious about mercy. It's no joke. It's a big deal. But our culture, you look around, it's built on justice. Now let me say this, before I dive into some things I wanted to say. There's a place for world governments and nations. There's a place for justice. There needs to be justice. If somebody murders somebody, there needs to be justice. But I just feel like our culture is a culture that's nearly devoid of mercy and is so drawn to justice that it's quite sickening. I mean, if an accident happens, and if a tragedy happens in somebody's life, I think of it this way. Here in Arizona, this happens nearly every summer and usually multiple times. And this is a tragedy where a young child, a baby, is left in their car seat in the hot summer and they die. Nearly every time there's a cry for somebody's got to pay. Somebody's got to pay. Meanwhile, that parent, think about it. Did they want to leave their kid in the car? Did they want this to happen? No. That's the last thing that they want. This is a tragedy in their life. They are broken only by God's grace and the powerful move of the Holy Spirit. Are they going to be able to function in life moving forward because of what just happened? Yet you still hear people, somebody's got to pay. I can't believe it. That parent, they've got. I mean, it's crazy. We live in a society that's so fixated on justice and so often void of mercy. We have a criminal justice system, and I'm just kind of talking right now. We're going to get back to what God's Word is saying, but we have a criminal justice system that I believe is broken. The president did just pass some laws and sign some things into law to help correct some of this, but we have a criminal justice system that loves to throw the book at people. I mean, that's why our prisons are so full. We have a criminal justice system that currently doesn't even allow judges and juries to extend mercy based on the situation that they're judging and that's in front of them, because there's these mandatory sentencing laws. And so what happens? You got a kid that's maybe 17 years old out there. He runs with the wrong crowd. He's in the wrong car at the wrong time. They get pulled over by the cops. There's drugs in there, and he's convicted of drug possession and put in the slammer for years, maybe. And what's the result? Is his heart softened to the Lord? Usually not. He's usually hurt, hardened, and he comes out hurt and hardened, and he's hurting other people. And this isn't political, this is just real life. I'm just putting it out there right now. And it's because there is this fixation, just like that wicked servant, on justice. And mercy becomes so foreign in our society. Check this out. In the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, where would the presence of God dwell? He dwelt on the mercy seat. That's where God's presence was. It was on the mercy seat, that place of mercy. And it's still that way. The presence of God shows up where there is mercy. He shows up in the life of those who have received mercy and who are full of mercy in extending mercy to others. He's the same way now as he always has been. God is attracted to mercy. You want more of God's presence in your life. You want God to sit down with you more often. And maybe you feel like you don't experience him that much. I want to encourage you, look at your life. Are you withholding mercy? Because God loves to show up and hang out in the place of mercy. He just does. Third question, is judging others an act of mercy or an act of justice? Let's see what Jesus has to say. You like that? You want to hear what Jesus has to say? All right. Are we hanging with us? Okay. All right, still in the Gospel of Matthew. Still, this one's in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to hit a little bit later as we continue to go through the Sermon on the Mount. It's in chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. 7 verses 1 and 2. Jesus says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now, we're going to dive into that passage a lot deeper here in a little while when we hit, you know, as we go verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount. But I want to point this out about what Jesus says right there. There's a clear warning once again. If we demand justice and repayment for the sins that others have committed against us, then God will deal with us in the same manner. It's just reality. But God's a God of love. Exactly. A few years ago, someone hurt me. They spoke lies, gossiped about me, smeared my character, caused a lot of pain in my life, caused a lot of pain in a lot of people's lives. Every fiber of my flesh wanted to fight back. I wanted to expose lies. I wanted to stand up and set everything straight. And let me tell you this about Eric Jones in the flesh. Eric Jones in the flesh, you hit him, he's going to hit you back a heck of a lot harder. Seriously. I mean, that's Eric Jones in the flesh. You mess with me, you hurt me, it's going to come down hard and heavy upon you. But praise God, Eric Jones doesn't operate in the flesh that often. Don't test me. Anyway. Oh, thank you, Lord. Mercy told me no. Be quiet. That's what mercy told me. Told me no. And to this day, I got to choose mercy. To this day, when I'm driving down the road and I see the make, model, and color of the vehicle that person drives, I have to purposefully speak and pray blessings over their life. And I do. And I mean it. It's not a halfway prayer. Oh, God, you know I can't stand this, but bless them if you really have to. God, if you absolutely have to bless them, bless them. No. I have to, with everything in me, God, I love them. bless them. Bless them. Today, bless them. Bless them. We have to choose mercy. Because again, like I said earlier, I can't handle justice. I can't handle to be treated in a way that my flesh wants to treat other people. It would hurt too much. It would cost me too much. I have to choose mercy. Because if I demand justice from others, God will unleash justice on me. So let God judge. Let vengeance be the Lord's. We're called to be merciful. Again, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. That's a promise from God. Do you also see something in here, the biblical principle of sowing and reaping? You see it right in there? It's everywhere in God's word, by the way. It's just how he operates. It's his economy. You're going to reap what you sow. Daniel Winans was here several years ago. He has a song out. He sang and did some things here. And he has a song that's called exactly that. You're going to reap what you sow. And it's so true. And here's an example of that. If we sow mercy, we're going to reap mercy. If we sow justice, we're going to reap justice. Sowing and reaping is throughout God's economy. But I want to take this to another level now. Satan understands this principle also. And he will use this principle of sowing and reaping in our lives in such devious ways. In ways that man, you don't even understand it, but it's jumping all over you all of a sudden, and you don't even know what hits you because of sowing and reaping. Here's often how it works. Let's get deep here. Hang with me on this. Maybe you had a father who would yell at you and your sister. Sometimes he would even lash out physically. You decided that you couldn't forgive him, and in that place, you vowed at that moment that you would never marry a man like your dad. Years later, same thing's happening in your home. Your husband is yelling at you. He's yelling at your kids. He's punching holes in the wall. When he gets angry, how did that happen? How did that happen? Could it be, maybe, that you're reaping the results of making a vow from the place of judgment and unforgiveness? I'm just saying. We reap what we sow. If we're sowing judgment and unforgiveness, and even make vows out of that place of judgment and unforgiveness, it's no joke. There's a door that's open there. Maybe your mother was always critical of you. She never affirmed you, and you resented her for that. She was critical of you, and so you became critical of her, and you vowed that you would never treat your children like that. Yet years later, your kids are complaining about the very thing that you were hurt by your mom. Sowing and vowing from the place of resentment and justice. This happens and can happen in all areas of life. We can open up doors to justice and to hurt and pain and leave doors open in our family that God has closed. He's closed. He's broke that sin. He's broke the power of that sin. He's broke the chains off of us. We're the redeemed of the Lord. We can walk in complete victory and wholeness in those areas of our lives. But if we open the door back up from a place of unforgiveness and resentment and judging, it can get nasty. It can happen with our spouses, children, bosses. It even happens with pastors. Some people having negative thoughts about their pastor and holding on to that. And just, I'm saying, man, it's no joke. Where we see the sins of the fathers and the mothers perpetuating the lives of children and their children. My dad was an alcoholic, and I hate him for that, for what he did. to our family. I'm not saying my dad wasn't, by the way, but the same. You're like, thank you for clarifying that, everybody. But my dad's going to be here in less than a month, and I want everybody, you know, like, Scott, awesome, man. Sorry about the barn, but praise God, you know, on the alcohol thing, you know. Yeah, he's like, what? Anyway. You know, sometimes it can sound like generational curses, and I don't want to get into to the details on all of that, but could a lot of these things just be the result of us sowing judgment and condemnation in unforgiveness? Could it be operating in justice instead of mercy that's opening the door and causing justice to continue to come in our lives and the lives of our children? Choose mercy. Jesus is not just warning us, but he's pleading with us. Choose mercy. It's no joke. It's no joke. Choose mercy. Forgiveness is so powerful. And many of you have experienced the power and the joy that comes from extending forgiveness and mercy to others. It's like a weight lifted off of you. And it is a weight lifted off of you. It's not just some kind of feeling that you have. I mean, it's literally a spiritual weight that's lifted off of your life. It's a door that's just been closed, a door that shuts the enemy out, that says, no, you can't mess with me any longer. I have shut the door with this amazing, powerful gift called mercy and forgiveness. So Jesus wants us to choose that because he loves us. He loves us. Left to ourselves, we can't choose mercy. You know that. Remember I talked about the Eric in the flesh? Hit me, I'm all... Anyway. I get riled up when I start thinking that way and talking that way. I got to kind of shut it down. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Amen. We can't choose mercy ourselves. But listen, if you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, you can do the impossible. And you can extend mercy. People don't deserve mercy usually, right? But you can do the impossible and you can give them what they don't deserve. Mercy. Scripture says that we have all we need for life and godliness. That means we have all we need in Christ Jesus to extend mercy, where in our flesh it's impossible. I love what it says in Titus 2:11-13. For the grace of God that brings salvation. How many of you have experienced the grace of God that has brought salvation in your life? Praise God. Amen. And if you haven't, today is the day when you can receive that. You're going to have an opportunity to step into that and receive salvation in your life today. And God's word says that the grace of God that brings salvation also teaches us, helps us understand, empowers us, gives us what we need to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. It teaches us, empowers us, leads us into living a godly, upright life in this present age as we're waiting for Jesus to come back. God's grace that he gives to everyone who is a new creation, born again in him, his grace gives us what we need to extend mercy. So what I'm saying is you have, if you are in Christ Jesus, you truly do have in you, because of Christ, what you need to extend mercy to that person or to those people or to that church. Or you have what you need in Christ. And this morning, Jesus is inviting you to receive the free gift of mercy. And he's encouraging you this morning to freely give it to others. And I want to give us this opportunity. I feel God wants us to make space right now to step into this. And maybe in the course of listening to the words of Jesus here, the Holy Spirit has reminded you of some relationships and situations where you've extended and sown justice instead of mercy. You can be sad about that. But you can also turn it all around. You can close the door. And you can operate in mercy right now.